This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon. Crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo. My cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is In The Conversation. This is Damian Lemon. And as always, on my right-hand side, I got...
El Coronel, El Capitan, Vladimir Camaño.
Fresh off of Kimmel. On my left-hand side, I got...
You got the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad in here.
Woo-hoo!
Welcome.
What's going on?
Everything good, man.
Oh, man. How's everybody?
Shit, everybody's excited. You popping bottles.
We got,
You know what I'm saying? Vlad on the national TV. Shit, we in here celebrating.
On the main stage, popping non-alcoholic beverages.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I was
drinking decaf coffee yesterday.
That's worse than drinking.
He was, too.
I know.
Decaf espresso.
Right, that shit ain't nothing but breath stinker.
Yeah, hilarious. Oh, man. Well, it looked good, man. It looked good. I gotta watch the set again. We was at the chop up situation, and I'm sure Vlad will speak to that whole chop up invitation being. You know what I mean?
I mean, everybody was at the chop up, but me.
It wasn't even looking crazy. Vlad, could you handle that? Because I didn't even.
I can handle that, and I feel like a dirt bag. I feel like a dirt bag because I told D this yesterday, Ali, and I think. This is messed up what I'm about to say, man.
Yeah, say what you got to say, man.
I knew I wouldn't go on until like 1 a.m., 12:30 ish, midnight.
Uh huh.
And I was like, Ali got kids.
Mm.
So and it's all the way up in the Bronx.
It wasn't 1 o'clock or nothing. It was for your own benefit.
He was up though. I was
outside when I saw it.
So
with my son,
you know, D.
Black fathers. What's up?
And D kind of said, you know, like, you know, I'm sure Ali would have made plans if Ali would have made it happen. And I said, fuck, you're right.
Yeah, man. I mean, my wife, I got good credit with my wife. You know what I'm saying? She ain't tripping like that. I apply for a pass, I get a pass.
It was a far off shenanigan. I'm gonna say that though. It was a good city island.
Okay.
And even uptown, and it was like that's a voyage.
Right.
But you know.
City Island is drivable, though.
Right, I forgot. You know, it's true indeed.
For the people who out there that's listening, explain what happens, because I really can't.
So Vlad had a nice little like a live watch. What do you call it? A watch party up in City Island at one of the many Sammys, and he got to connect with Sammy. He knows Sammy, I guess, and Sammy. Set that shit out, or Frankie, who knew Sammy, they set it out. It was a nice situation.
It looked like a spread.
It was a good Loretta-ing moment.
That shit looked like a spread. A lot of big king crab looking situations.
But it was all for a great cause, man. This man Vlad cracked off at the first network late night set on Jimmy Kimmel last night. You know, phenomenal, official ass. With the low velvet, what was it, a velvet on the lapel blazer with the Concord 11s?
Yeah, velvet. Concord 11s with the tuxedo, the tuxedo jacket. And I was a little tight because you don't see the Concord till the very end when I go shake Jimmy's hand.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one thing that I was like, ah!
A minor technicality.
People need to see this.
You know? But talk to us, man. How'd you feel? Tell us about the day.
First and foremost, I just want to apologize. You know, Ali, because it was fucked up for me to pre-assume, if that's even a word, that the brother could have stepped out of the house in Brooklyn to get to City Island.
All good, man. So we passed it now. We on the mic. Let's break it down, man.
All right. So the set was pre-taped. You know, everybody was wondering if I was going on live. The set was pre-taped, which is hilarious because I was posting pictures of the event before it even aired.
Right.
And I had friends texting me like, yo, you already went up? I said, yeah, I went up about a month and a half ago.
Hilarious.
I already done that. Nah, man, I think what I was most happy about was just kind of, number one, my confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you watch the set, you know, it's a bit slow getting off in the beginning. And, you know, I didn't panic. I kept my pace. And by the time you get to the second joke, you see why the first joke was in there, which is a callback from my dad's T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I take off my brother joke, and that's kind of when the set kind of kicked off. That's when it kind of went. That's when it started to peak.
That's when you was in your pocket.
So, yeah, so I was happy that it was a slow build, but it had a purpose. You know, it had a purpose with that second joke. So it was a strategic, planting of the joke, and then it came back with my dad with the T-shirt, and then I went into my brother, and I closed up with the ATM bit. So a little slow up front, but I kept my confidence. I didn't change my pacing. It was like, I was like, I got this. And I thought I looked great, you know?
Wow.
Modest Vlad. Remember Shy Vlad?
Man,
shit.
Shy guy Vlad has left the building.
I was proud of that, man. I was proud of the way I looked. I was like, you know, I went out, got the jacket, you know.
You ain't need no stylist, huh?
No, I did. I work with my boy Quentin. My boy Quentin out here. Okay. Quentin, I work with him.
Well, what happened to the other cat? He got wrapped.
No, same dude. Same dude. No, his name is Quentin. He just goes by. He goes by Thrash sometimes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's two totally different identities. That's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He go by Thrash, but his real name is Quentin.
He's a Marvel character.
Yeah, man.
A Marvel stylist.
Keep the brand consistent. Oh, Thrash.
And Thrash, you know, we had a conversation about what I wanted, and you know, and I just thought, you know, I looked at the video a couple times with my brother, and I was like, you know, just felt good, man, because definitely. You definitely have some dark days in comedy. You know, you're on the come up, and just feels good to have that set on national television and to be able to share it with friends. And then, you know, to look back on that, because that's the other thing, too. You know, we always talk about that. I think I had a conversation with both you guys, Ali and D, about you want to look back on the portfolio. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping this is the first of many late night sets. In the same way Nas got albums and Jay got albums, you want to look back and go, "This is where I was the first five." And then the next time I do it, which is good to have a portfolio of work. Yeah, that's right. We did talk about that. Portfolio.
Yeah, but we don't want to have a portfolio. We want to have a catalog.
Ooh,
that's what the catalog. That's right, catalog.
Portfolio, asking for some. Hey, look at my portfolio.
Yeah.
If you can give me some work, you know.
Yeah,
catalog. Got
lose
a price
yourself.
Catalog got a price to each item.
Right. Lose yourself amongst this catalog.
You know what I'm saying?
Nah, that shit was cool.
I mean, but what is it like, one, preparing for something like that?
Well, the first thing is, you know, you have to prepare, you know, for Kim was a lot shorter. Mm-hmm. They were talking like 3.5 minutes for the set. Which is, you know, crazy, because how do you cram who you are in 3.5 minutes, right?
Right.
That's the other thing too. People forget to realize, like, it's not just about being funny. People have to know what you are.
Right.
In terms of your brand, you know, your quote unquote your brand, your type of funny,
mm-hmm.
and when they see you online, you know, we talk about the whole three-dimensional effect of social media. That people need to feel, you know, you got to have a texture to what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I submitted a set to the booker of Kimmel, and then what happens is they give you feedback. They go, hey, we want this joke. This joke doesn't make sense, or it doesn't make sense here, or, you know, I'm not a dirty comic, but some comics will have a joke that can be considered vulgar.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll say, hey, we can't do that on national television, take that out. For example, I did a joke about Tropicana juice on my set,
mm-hmm.
and they had to check with Tropicana brand to make sure that it wasn't, you know,
illegal.
That it wasn't kind of it kind of wasn't defaming their product.
Yeah.
Right. And they saw the joke and they were like, no, this is honoring the product. His mom loves Tropicana OJ.
Tropicana should send you some shit.
That's what I'm saying.
They send you just a pallet of fucking Grove Stand.
Yeah, one of my homies, he works at one of these big companies, and they saw one of your jokes on something, and they were like, hey, we might want to bring that guy to our national conference.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying, that stuff do resonates when you mention the brand, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, put that word out, Ali. Let me know.
He told me, so I don't even have to put the word. He called me about it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, this is real talk.
Was it recently, or?
It was a couple months ago.
Oh, okay, bet.
Yeah, pick up that phone. What's going on with that phone call?
I'm all about that, Ali.
I'm
Ali,
waiting on that invite to the City Island and shit.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Eddie Murphy.
Man, yeah, man. Niggas want that call, too.
All right. Pick up the phone, man.
Ali, if we close that deal, I'm definitely going to give you a little nice love on that. You know what I mean?
Okay, that ain't why I do it, but you know what I'm saying?
I know.
I take gifts.
what did your family watch? What your father, what your mother, did they see it? What they think?
So my mom is in DR. Yeah. I think she's gonna watch it today. So I think my brother sent her the link. Mm-hmm. And then my father saw it. My father stayed up to watch it. And mm-hmm. He loved it.
Dope.
And my brother, you saw him there, D. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you saw how that man rolls.
Yeah. That was a good homage. You met his
brother. Yeah, that was his favorite part.
I mean, I only seen him dancing on the videos.
Yeah. Nah, he definitely perked up when that part came on. He's like, hold on, this is my spot right here. But it was a good homage. That was a good situation. That's what's up. And then you had, at the party, you had, you had the cat, Josh, who played your brother before.
He played him in the pilot. So
in the
Josh,
pilot.
Right.
Which was kind of interesting to see, like,
okay,
like the cat that, you know what I mean? It's like Denzel and Frank Lucas,
right? Did they ever meet before?
Yeah.
But before we shot, I had them kind of have dinner and talk, you know, hang out and all that.
Okay, cool. Nah, that's dope.
And then we, it was dope, man. I feel really grateful for it. You know, I feel blessed to do it, and you know, it's just a different conversation to have now. You know, I've done the late night of, you know, it's a different piece in the catalog.
Mm-hmm.
So
you in the game.
Your phone been ringing different yet?
Yeah. Social media chain, any love out there? What's up? What's the transformation?
So the social media's been good, man. The one thing I will say is, you know, one thing I tried to guard myself from is negative comments.
Don't go looking for hate.
You know,
don't do it.
But it's part of, you know, it's part of the game. You go on YouTube and you see the comments. You're like, I'm super saying.
Did you find what it
looked like? You know what I mean?
Look, what the haters have to say. What they talking about?
The haters, you know, some haters. You know, he's not funny. You know what I mean?
Okay, that's generic.
I'm looking at my like to hate ratio. You know what I mean?
Okay, what's you feeling? How you feel? It's way more love, right?
It's way more love. But the other thing too is, man, is like, I was thinking about this, and this is a real deep conversation about it. Is haters can fuck up your gratitude, man.
Your gratitude?
Keep going. Why? What you mean?
One's gratitude. So, like, you know, you work hard to get this set, and you put it online, and a set's approved, and you get on stage, and you do it, and there are things larger than someone's opinion about the set. Like, you know, I'm talking about my family. You know what I mean? Like. Mm-hmm. And I kind of did the set to honor my family. Like, so when my family looks back, they go, hey, this is the set that Vlad did for us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you read a negative comment saying, hey, it's not funny. And you can let that shit get to you and go, damn, what the fuck did I do? But then you go, wait a minute. No, like, fuck, this is my set, my family. I'm grateful for the opportunity to do it on national television.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, and gratitude is what keeps possibilities open, keeps your creativity open. It keeps business open. Nobody wants to be around,
the bitter.
Just that energy, that bitter-ass energy, you know what I mean?
No.
So I made it a point before the set even aired, I was going to say no matter what. And D, you kind of noticed that. You noticed it in the way we talked about yesterday, the way I was even promoting the set.
Yeah, you said that. You was going all out. You was putting it all out.
Yeah,
there.
and then Ali, you know, I'll give you a public shout-out on this. You and I had the conversation about...
Public shout-out.
You got to talk... You got to tell your story. You know, Ali told me that.
No doubt.
There you go.
And so I went into it saying, and I'm going to use this for the rest of my life. I'm going to go into it saying, I have gratitude. I have gratitude for this opportunity, and fuck what anybody says.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I think you're on national TV.
That's what it is.
You in the conversation. You are the conversation of that night at that time slot, man. Shit.
They in your comments. You ain't in their comments. They ain't got no comments. You don't even know who the fuck that person is.
Exactly.
They don't got no comments in his motherfucking basement. You know what I mean?
You
good?
Know what I mean?
Yeah, don't look for the hate, man. Enjoy the love.
No doubt.
Enjoy the love. Inspire the people.
Which is the, you know, that's the larger agenda.
It's crazy, man. I remember Remember meeting this guy at fucking open mic years ago with Nevada Smiths. He was talking about comedy for hours after that, at the diner, just talk about comedy. Well, how it could happen, Blasey Skip.
You talking about Vlad?
Talk about Vladimir Kamani, not the guy that said his comments.
No.
Vladimir Kamani.
Yeah. Go ahead. Talk
and,
on it.
Speak on it. Yeah, I mean, you know, from the door, you know what I mean? Cat wanted to do this comedy shit. Was a big fan. We talked about comedy like me and you would talk about hip hop. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Breaking down styles, looking at, if that's hack, you know, this person did that. Like everything, just the culture of it, you know? Right. And trying to get in there, trying to establish yourself, trying to break in. I remember we promoted a show. We produced a show, Comedy on the Hump, for a couple years.
You know what I'm saying?
And I remember Katz was like, yo, I got my first solid 10 minutes. I remember beefing when we got into it one time. It is no big thing. We got into it. We were driving on our way to do a college gig for, you know, an unmentionable amount of money. The quotes have changed.
Hilarious. Yeah, we were talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah, but we used to have a show and we'd have to go last. Somebody would host and somebody would close. And we was really just going last. It was a Wednesday night show. It was 15 minutes.
And Ali came out.
Huh?
Yeah, I came out a few times.
It was you know, the crowd was so how it was that we remembered everybody that came out. We would book our crowd like we booked our comics. It was like, when the last time Ali been back? Call Ali again. See if we can get him in here to say.
Ain't it such and such birthday?
But I remember just going from that. Going from that to, you know, the cat, when he was left his job to go all in on the comedy shit, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And then the Montreal breakout and all of the success that has come since. So the shit, I mean, I'm just happy because I've witnessed it. I've seen it. I'll say one thing about Vlad. Vlad ain't never take no shortcuts. He's never been a bitter dude. He's been genuine. He's been a good comic. You know what I mean? He's never been like a backbiting comic or a comic that'll shit on other comics or a comic that'll do something. You know what I mean? Like cheat the game. Mm-hmm. Like he played by the rules and the motherfucker is reaping the rewards of just doing the work. So with that and with this little 16-ounce bottle of Poland Spring that's non-alcoholic, I salute that man.
Salute.
There it is. Salute. Vladimir Camaño.
I appreciate that, man. Thanks a lot, D. You know, it's just, yeah, man, but you know, it's we still cooking, man. We still cooking.
Absolutely. We out here working. We all working.
We still cooking, man.
What's cracking with you, man?
I ain't doing shit. Nah, I'm chilling, man. I'm out here working, man. fuck. What's going on? We got the I'm running around looking for an outfit. We got the Turner Upfronts tomorrow. They doing all the shows.
Oh, that's right.
Comedy Knockout comes back. I want to say comes back tomorrow. That's coming back tomorrow. So I'm about to start promoing all that. So that's that.
At the Upfronts, what do you do at an Upfront?
I chill. You just amongst, you in the audience, you amongst the other talent. Like there's certain people that come up there and like present and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't there yet. I ain't presenting at this point. And I'm cool. Like, you know, it's a, you get there early. You get there early. That's a long fucking day. You get there early. You do like red carpet. People, the media come out, ask you about the show, what mm-hmm. to expect. Blasey Skip, you need to have your little, your sound bite together or whatever you talking about together. There's all the other, you know, talent from all the other shows under the Turner umbrella. So it's crazy. It's like a like a big ass convention. Like
Cartoon Network and all that shit too?
Everybody. Cartoon Network. So like for instance, Eric Andre, who's on Adult Swim, which is Cartoon Network, he was there last year. I seen my man, that's my man too. Anthony Bourdain in the building. Okay. That was crazy. Last year it was who hosted it? It was Conan, Anderson Cooper, and Charles Barkley. The three of them hosted. Okay. And it was all funny. They had their own little thing. I thought we talked about it on the pod, but maybe not. But you know, just mad people. I see the Jokers out there and Practical Jokers, they out there repping, you know, True. I'm trying to think who else I kicked it with last year. I met Dan Harmon. I sat next to Dan Harmon, who, you know, I believe he created Community. He also did Rick and Morty. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I didn't know who he was. He just, you know, he's the guy that created it. We just happened to have a conversation, start chopping it up. He was wild cool. And I happened to be a fan of some of his shit.
Right.
you know, it was just cool. What it is, it's kind of reminding me, and this is going a little inside baseball, but just to give you a reference that, remember when we had some upfronts.
Understand the concept. Like, you know,
it's like a big PowerPoint presentation for TV.
Right.
To like basically the whatever network they touting all of their new shit that's dropping, whatever, and they do a little teaser video. They have some of the talent come up there and be funny. And right. You know, I remember Billy Eichner came up last year and it was funny as shit. You know what I mean? It was pretty good.
And most times it's to show the advertisers and the ad agencies, right, and you know what I'm saying, what they have coming, what's in slot, you know what I'm saying, so they can start planning on which shows they're gonna buy into.
Right.
And you know, it's really like, you know, a head start on this is what we got, this is what y'all paying for this year.
Right.
Let's get this money.
Let's figure it out.
So we're gonna bring out all our stars.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We're gonna do this red carpet. Y'all gonna be able to shake hands, rub elbows,
have a drink,
see some clips, and you know what I'm saying? This is our lineup. This is our squad.
Yeah, yeah. It was fun. It's fun. And then they got some parties afterwards. It's a whole day. It's gonna be fun though. It's a good situation.
That's what's up.
So shout out to the whole Turner situation.
This is Hollywood season.
You're out here working. You know what I'm saying? Cats is out here working, man. What's up with you, brother?
Oh man, shit. I'm fresh off of Muhammad holiday, Mother's Day. You know what I'm saying?
Shit,
that was
right.
A big week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So, you know, we did it up for my wife. I, you know, me and my daughter cooked breakfast and then.
Oh, word?
Then I ordered takeout and made a spread out of the takeout.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? At the crib. All
right.
You know what I'm saying? It's interesting, though, on my my son's birthday, my middle kid, 13 now, he asked, he wanted a cassette recorder.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like old school, like regular tape.
Throwback.
Interesting.
Where'd that come from?
Well, you know, he's the brainiac one. So
right.
He at school, at this school, and they had the rules. And they say, you know, you can't have an MP3 player, iPhone.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? They named all the things.
he took it back on your ass.
So he was like, well.
Radio Raheem.
If I bring a cassette, that's not against the rules.
Smart.
So he's trying to circumvent. He has a whole plan circumvent the rules.
This is a spike-based
plan. Like
your
like
loophole.
That.
Exactly. You want to exploit the loophole and, you know what I'm saying, get his black ass kicked out of this private school.
The old cassette debacle of 2017.
So I'm just preparing for the call. He wanted a recorder so he could record from his phone or wherever to the tape.
Mm-hmm.
And then he bought a portable Walkman joint.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we went all over town looking for a goddamn cassette recorder. And I ended up finding one, you know what I'm saying, a couple of days ago at Target.
Mm.
They had a little boom box for the cassette recorder.
Yeah.
So, and then he ordered the little Walkman.
Was the cashier shocked?
Nah, man, you know they don't be looking at shit. They just be beep, okay. Beep, beep, beep.
Cassette's kind of making a comeback. I don't want to say making a comeback, but they've been around like as a sub. No, for real, as a subculture. Shout out to my man Steve over at VDSQ Records. He's been, you know, Steve. He's been doing the record thing for a long time,
right.
And he would do like a short run of cassettes of every release he would do,
right.
And them shits would go crazy.
Yeah,
people like him.
It's a strange thing, and he's into it. Like so, he set it up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it was a proud moment. You know what I'm saying? Because you finally, like, you know, with technology moving so fast, none of the shit that you was on has no real place in the world no more. As far as vinyl and
and
tapes and shit, kids not on that shit. So to actually have to show him, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he was like, so each side is 30 minutes. Like, yeah. Then and he's like, damn, well, then you gotta flip it over. You know what I'm saying?
That blew his mind.
Nah, it just was like, okay. It was just like a odd ass technology that you had to explain to him. Like, what's going on here?
When you were talking to him, did it feel like, as he was processing it, did it feel like, as he's talking to you, did it feel like what he's processing? Like, damn, so we really going backwards here. So it's only 30 minutes on this? This is what we only got 30 minutes?
He was just soaking it up, trying to get a feel for what it was. Like,
that's dope.
Like, you know how when you know tapes, you know when you can look at the tape and tell which side is ready to go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If it's on the right, you know what I'm saying? That's this side.
Oh, right.
You know, so you could just look at the tape and how much left on each side to see, you know what I'm saying, where it's at on the tape.
Yeah.
So he was like, you know, which side is ready to go when it's like this? I'm like, oh, if it's flip on that it side, that's the A side, and you know. If it's not, then you just flip it over. But when it's on, when it's empty on this side, that's the side that's ready to go.
You got high speed dubbing on it, or is it?
Nah, it ain't got. It's only it ain't a double cassette joint. Okay. You know, it ain't advanced cassette. Okay. It's very simple cassette. You right. know, we had got to the point with the double cassettes and shit where you could just do all kind of shit with
right.
it. They used to make loops and. You know what I'm saying? Like, you be master at it. You know exactly when to press record and mm-hmm. keep it on beat.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I'm saying? It was just weird having to show him, and he was into it. So, you know what I'm saying? You know, you really don't have many of those moments where it's like, yeah, and it all makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, with him having his hand on a cassette, it made sense. And then him having to go up and make a physical mixtape, you know what I'm saying? But it was easier for them because he just used the fucking phone and put a playlist on and let it run for 30 minutes.
And just let it, yeah, just let it record. Hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, you had to take each record, right. you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Pause. Mm-hmm. You
know what I'm Make sure your pause was a good pause, too. Yeah. It had a little nice little hum to it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Right at the right time. You want to pause too early before nah. the fade, all the way right. fade, but then you don't want no silence. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you got to get your pause game together, you know. So you know that was a bugged out moment, man. So we did that. It was a, you know, it was a proud old school hip hop head ass black father moment.
That's what's up.
Did they have that at the Black Museum in DC?
I think they did have the tape recorder.
Double cassette.
They had the one. They had one cassette left. Now I'm sure they did. They had some interesting, you know. Artifacts, I guess you want to call it like that. Like they had Dilla's 1200, you know what I mean? It's MPC and shit like that. It's kind of cool to see certain things like that presented in the context of history.
Right.
You know, it's so crazy because it's something that is visceral to you. You used to do that. And right. now that shit, somebody studies it.
Right.
That's some shit. That's crazy.
That shit is in a case behind a glass.
Word. You got to ask somebody about that. So what's the story behind that? Well, a long time ago. Oh, yeah, shit. Yeah.
So, you know, but the byproduct was, you know what I'm saying, we had a tape player. So I started, you know, I got a bag full of old ass tapes. So I was going through all.
Oh, hilarious!
Shit. Like, oh shit! Damn, I remember that. Yeah.
And you can convert, right? You say you got a converter.
I mean, you can run the aux cord back and forth. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So yeah, so I haven't started converting that, but you know, I was just listening to a bunch of old shit.
Yeah.
It's like it's funny, like you know, what I'm saying you hear your tape and you like, I remember exactly when I made this motherfucker, and I remember why. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Then I had my beats, some old beats and some old raps and shit.
How they sound?
It sound all right.
Still hold up?
I mean, some of them.
You about to go back in the lab?
Nah, not really.
You ain't going now? All right.
If I do, I'll let y'all know. You know what I'm saying?
That's don't ask me about if I'm going in the lab or not.
I'm JC. I just drop out of the blue.
They say he's supposed to be dropping soon.
Yeah, that's what they say. I mean, you know, what you think about that?
I mean, I'm always ready for a Jay-Z album just to see. That's my fucking guy. I fuck with Jay-Z. It's funny though. I've noticed a lot of these young kids, the Jay-Z slander has heightened as time has gone by. Because Jay-Z's one of the last motherfuckers that's like shining from the era.
Right.
And I see somebody tweet. You know, I think Nation from Not Right tweeted, "New Jay-Z album. This is not a drill. New Jay-Z album. This is not a drill." And then Cass was retweeting that shit like, dang, he could keep that shit, or I'm good. Let me hear Travis Scott. I was like, hey.
You know, the internet ain't got no motherfucking chill.
You know.
You know what I'm saying? They when it hit, they'll be on it. But Jay-Z, like, you know, he last of the linear rappers, man.
I mean, linear rappers, interesting.
I break it down like, you know, back in the day, you know what I'm saying, a verse, you know what I'm saying, each verse had its own topic. You know right. what I'm saying? It was like an essay. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? We talking about this, and we going to do that, and then this happening, that's uh-huh. happening, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Then the hook.
Right.
Hood, which probably lines up with the verse.
What was just said, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then it might have shortened like half a verse about this, half a verse about that. But then like when Wayne came,
mm-hmm.
Lil Wayne came along with Round the Squad Up era,
mm-hmm.
and then shit, it might be two words, and then the whole subject switched. The next two words of the whole another subject. You know what I'm saying?
Punchlines.
Yeah, it was just each line might have its own whole story. You know what I'm saying? So I call that non-linear rap. Mm. Like when it's just, you know, they just flipping different words and making that shit work. in this era, after that, a lot of rap is very nonlinear, very, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to say this, I'm going to say that. It might relate to the next shit, but it might not.
It might just be a pre-hook.
It might be a pre-hook.
It might be a pre-hook before the pre-hook and, before the pre-hook.
And the hook might not be about shit. And then we're going to name that shit. Ain't got nothing to do with nothing we said.
We're going to name it Barbara Walters.
You know what I'm saying? Like, God damn.
This shit is about gun violence in Chicago.
This shit is nonlinear than a motherfucker.
Yeah.
But Jay-Z, you know what I'm saying? I mean, J. Cole keep the nonlinear shit. He keep the nonlinear heritage.
You mean the linear heritage?
The linear heritage. And then Joey Badass.
Kendrick?
See,
Kendrick got non-linear beats.
Kendrick got non-linear. Kendrick is very non-linear, but he make it feel linear. You know what I'm saying? Because the way he rap, you know what I'm saying? It feel like he rapping like the old way.
Right.
But his subject matter, his topic, he might flip that shit on you in the middle of the sentence. And, you know, you got to keep up with him sometimes. So, you know, he's a hybrid, I guess.
I think I've realized, like, I think, I'm ready for a J album. I'm hoping that he... that he's spitting that shit, though. Like, and I don't even know what that means by that shit. Let me be honest.
You're only going to know it when you hear it.
When I hear it, I don't need the I'm rich art rap. You know what I mean? We could do one or two of those, but I don't want to hear the rarefied you. You know, even though Jay always been better than these niggas.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? As far as his listeners go.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And his competition.
Right. But I don't need it to be... I don't want to have to go to Google that many times.
Right.
I don't have to go to the Rob Report. I want some of that shit to be, I want it to be competitive. I want him to kind of get back in there. You know what I'm saying? And then hopefully the jump is still clicking.
Right. You want to hear him as drug dealing Jay?
I don't particularly need to hear drug. I feel like I've heard all of the drug dealing Jay. I want to hear Get Money Jay. I like Get Money Jay. Maybe Get Money business self-help book, Jay. Like, hey, this is how I got the money. You know what I mean? And this is the formula in a cool way to where it could inspire me yet again. Jay done inspired a lot of get money schemes in my life.
No doubt.
So shit like that. A little reflective. I don't like a whole lot of tender reflection, but I guess this cat about to have twins and shit, and he's, you know, he married with a child, so Mother's Day just passed.
When has he ever been kind of tender?
He's been a little reflective.
I mean, he ain't even cry on the song. He made the song cry.
No. As it got, when he started talking about his daughter, he gets a little bit more emo out there, a little bit more. You know, you're a father, so it probably fits right with your filter. But it's just like, how many verses he talking about the kid? But
I really didn't like when he had Blue in the Tub like Pop. I thought that was kind of weird.
That's weird. Yeah, that's weird. That's a long way to go for a reference that doesn't pay off.
No,
does it really pay off?
It's just weird.
And now we fucking with Pac. See, because I'm still low petty. Now we fucking with Pac after all these years.
But you know what I'm saying? That's the thing with Jay. As soon as Pac was dead, you know what I'm saying? He was referencing Pac. That's the one question. You know, but Jay is one of them. Jay one of them niggas, though. He a 48 Laws of Power ass nigga.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Jay gonna bury you into his, you know what I'm saying? Then he gonna profit off of you.
Are you saying Jay killed Pop?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, bury you with the lyrics.
No, I know. No.
But like Jay battle you out, and you know what I'm saying? If he didn't battle you out, if you was Jay enemy, it's gonna be a long grudge. You know what I'm saying? The revenge might be served.
Freeze your ass
cold,
out. Right.
But he going to continue to dig at your ass and then profit. Put it on your record so people go buy his record and then he profit off of it.
Right.
This nigga made a song called Me and My Girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like he goes deep with his revenge and beefs.
And is that the only Pac song he's covered, or did he cover something else?
I mean, he always got a Pac reference. I don't know if he covered a whole song, but he always yelling the Pac reference here and there.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
That's the young rap fan in me that's still a little uncomfortable that too.
It sounds very
hold the grudge.
It sounds very Rocky. You know what I mean? Rocky IV when he was rich and had all the money, and the Russian came along. You know what I mean? And you're just hoping that Rocky comes over, then he has to lose, take that one L, and he comes back and wins.
Right.
Because he's in a very unique context, man. I mean, can you think of another rapper who's in his context where he has, you know, three kids,
with probably the greatest, one of the greatest, you know, married to one of the greatest music artists of all time, multiple enterprises, you know. Mm-hmm. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but his, you know, his, to expect, I mean, maybe I'm not listening to you right, but are you expecting him to have the same level of honesty, or you want parts of the OJ to come back, or are you just looking for straight up honesty? Like, I want just an honest record from Jay.
You know what I would want? Because to your point, he does live the life that you could kind of roll the credits at any point, and he won. Right. You know what I mean? It could be like the end, and it's like, damn, that motherfucker did it. But I would like him to be, when I heard Lemonade come out, right? Mm-hmm. Not to be petty about it, but like, if some shit really happened, right? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about, I don't know how transparent it's going to get. I mean, I see Rock out here talking about, like, sometimes shit get a little different, right? It takes, this is a new level of
hip-hop artists.
Where now we talking about real shit. Like, right. We talking about maintaining a relationship. We talking about infidelity. We talking about, you know what I mean? We talking about that type of shit. I would like to hear Jay get a little vulnerable. We talked about this, Jay. I want to hear, because since the Lemonade album,
right?
I mean, I kind of want to see what he thinking.
Right, and that's interesting. You know what I'm saying? I really don't care if he's honest. You know what I'm saying? Because I want a hard record. I just want some dope-ass music.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't really care if that shit is his real shit or not, but he need to come with a compelling something.
Yeah, I want it to be compelling. You know what I'm saying? Some dope shit.
Because, you know, I mean, I don't know when rappers had to be real and honest. You know what I'm saying? When I was coming up, rappers was really just flossing.
They was telling stories,
you know, too. They were telling stories, and they were just flossing out. It didn't get to a point where you had to be real, and they had to match up with your real shit until after, like, gangster rap. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like gangster rap changed that, and I think Jay kind of changed that with the, when I talk about what I got, I really got it. I'm going to pull up with that, and you'll be like, oh, shit. Because, you know, for a while, it was just like, oh. Right. Every so often, I remember years ago seeing Nice and Smooth in some Jeeps or Fordham, and they had the Nice and Smooth Jeeps with the UV shit, the little whatever. I was blown away. I was like, oh, this shit is like, it was like seeing like a comic book come to life. Like, right. Oh, these motherfuckers really got exists. That shit. So it's always kind of cool when it checks out.
Yeah, you know, when it checks out. But, you know, when they're on the rap, though, you know what I mean? Like, you could always see Run DMC, you know, they had Benzes and shit in their pictures and all that. But on their record, you know what I'm saying? It was Christmas and Hollis. You know what I'm saying? Santa came down the chimney. You ain't give a fuck. It was just records. You know what I'm saying? Good records. Daryl and Joe, my DJ Scratch better than yours and shit.
Yeah, I don't want to hear no
and
shit.
That's the first phase. But then, you know what I'm saying? You knew when Ice Cube was writing that shit. You know, you knew it was no nigga in the world like that.
I want to hear some narrative.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? I never believed Ice Cube for 1 minute. You know what I'm saying? That motherfucker caused so much havoc in one goddamn day. On a record, he was like, "Man, come on, man, this motherfucker."
Did you ever believe rappers? And what was the first time with rapper where you was like, "Damn, I can't believe this."
Because in the era of rap that I came up in originally, the stories was just kind of like fairy tales and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like motherfucking Slick Rick and Lottie Dottie. You know what I'm saying? Rent your rink up, I say, hey, it can't be. Y'all
well, that, yeah, that's different.
You know what I'm saying? But it was that's how most of the records was. LL, I'm bad. You know what I'm saying?
I used to believe in Mobb Deep. I did.
That's a different era. That's the next. Specific. That's the like the third wave. Like after Tribe and all that.
Right.
I'm telling you, it's like after gangster rap. Then it became like, oh shit. You know what I'm saying? You got to be that shit. What you talking? Because y'all talking some real reckless shit right now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I mean, you know.
I will say this about Jay though, man. Which is something I try to incorporate into my own stuff, like. He has a way of being emo. And again, my knowledge of hip-hop is limited, but from what I've heard of Jay, he has a way
speak
of being
your mind,
emo.
Man.
Say from what I heard.
No, because I'm not as well-versed. Well,
they know. Everybody that listens here knows. Speak from the Vlad
point
of view.
I appreciate that.
You got it.
He has a way of being emo, quote-unquote, you won't put that in quotes, but while still being empowered. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You can be emo.
Like Jay will talk about not having his father around. He'll talk about his mom. But it's in a way where you feel good about feeling that. You know what I mean? Like, you don't feel weak. You don't feel victim-y. You know what I mean?
Is that because he's winning?
Is that because No, but I think like that's like it'd be interesting to see what struggles he's going through right now. You know, maybe the struggle of expectations, maybe the struggle of being a, you know, being a, you know, a father, being a, you know, being like you said after Lemonade, but
right.
being able to share those struggles while still feeling empowered. Like if he can pull that off, I would love to hear that album.
Let me ask y'all: are y'all only interested in people struggle when they winning? Like if they losing, is that shit just a burdensome conversation? Or do you, well, like...
It just feels like bad storytelling.
No, I mean, if it's in real life, you know what I'm saying? Or like, on in a music or...
I guess in real life, is it like
the Ja Rule story?
Right. Okay, for instance, maybe not personalize it to anybody, but if somebody caught a raw deal, right, and they telling you about how it all happened or whatever.
Right.
Are they not anymore, are they not compelling anymore?
It's like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Depends on, you know, who it is. If they was doing their shit and then, it, you know what I'm saying, it ain't work out, you know what I'm saying? It's still a lot to learn from it, you know what I mean? You just, you know, you don't want to give credit to people. You know, sometimes people just lie about shit. So you know what I'm saying? Those are disregard. But if it's a true story and true experience, there's always something to be learned in that shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Something to always learn from another motherfucking mistake, right?
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? I know what you're saying, and you know, it could be like that. You know what I mean? It's like you might not want to hear a good record from an artist who has fallen off.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's almost like your patience isn't there as much. You kind of like, I don't need to. Is it good? You got to hear from four other people that it was. Nah, it's worth listening to two or three songs.
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
So you know that, yeah, that when you're in that council of public opinion, boy, you know that all that counts against you.
Yeah. KRS-One just dropped a new album. I haven't heard it yet.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's the response. But I heard one record. It sounded like a KRS-One record. You know what I mean? But I'm curious, you know, I'm kind of curious to maybe listen to this KRS-One album.
What if KRS-One came and had nonlinear lyrics and on like a banging beat?
Well, this is the thing. A lot of people still feel like KRS-One is never, like, there's people that feel like KRS-One never really fell off. It just didn't, for whatever, stop connected. Like, he didn't fall off quality-wise. You know how... Maybe he just didn't connect with what was going on musically, but people have always, there's always been this thing where there's a few older artists that people will still be like, nah, if he get in the studio now, he still got bars. He supposedly, KRS-One still makes battle raps for just in case.
And I'm sure he got bars, you know what I'm saying? The cadence, we don't know.
Cadence could be questionable.
We don't know what the cadence going to sound like. But a lot of times these guys, man, a lot of times guys don't have good taste in beats, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
That the newer or the updated taste in beats.
Right.
Like when it comes to changing and shit like that, you know what I'm saying? I always look at it to the point where when LL dropped the second album or dropped the Walking with a Panther album. I think that was the third album.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a dud to the general community. He had some songs on there, but it was kind of like, yeah, it's not the mother two albums he just had.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? He kind of got quiet. And then, you know what I'm saying? The motherfucking...
Mama Said Knock You Out?
That album, but the Boomin' System.
Oh, right.
The Boomin' System record dropped on radio. And
that beat was crazy.
I remember listening to it like, yo, who the fuck is this?
Who did that? Marley Marl?
Probably.
That shit was crazy.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, who the fuck is, like, he changed his whole shit up to the point where you didn't even recognize that it was him.
Right.
And when you found out it was him, it was like, my nigga LL is back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he has done that, you know, a few times over his career.
He was good.
To where he could drop singles at least for years.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of guys, you know, they don't be able to go back and reinvent that shit and come up with something fresh.
Because maybe a lot of guys don't realize that they're not out of touch until it's way too late. They might be stubborn or they don't really reach out to nobody else. You know, it's got to be a lot of vulnerability.
Or the new shit just might not just feel right. It might not feel natural.
It might not feel right.
You know what I'm saying?
Or, you know, you just, you know, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when you came up with your style and flow, it was just coming out of you. You know what I'm saying? And if you ain't reinvigorated your whole situation, then you might just be on your same thing. That's what's feel good, man.
That's an interesting moment for artists, is when to change with the times while still maintaining who you are. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's that tricky moment, but it could be done.
Sometimes, man, you got to do it, man. So it's
got to.
Like, I feel like Wayne is in that place where he need to change his style. Mm. That's just me.
Yeah, probably.
He got stuck on a couple of subjects too long.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? His voice kept getting higher and higher. I'm like, God damn.
I think we might, you know what I think it is too? I think it's like old Wayne. I think since he got all this contract shit going on, you know, Wayne used to put out a lot of fucking music, and he could kind of purge all of that shit and start some new shit. I think he ain't been able to really get all the way in it and like put shit out to be digested and try other shit. Right. Feels like he's kind of like, I'm not doing much until I get out this situation.
Right.
And it's kind of fucked up.
Right. So he might be in the lab changing this whole shit up, but I feel like he need an update.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But I guess if you feel like you got that shit that's going to change your life, you want to make sure, like, if this is your new lease, you want to make sure that you got all this shit in your name. You know what I mean?
You know, like, the other thing too is, man, is that artistically, you know, I'm not saying this for everybody, but when you perform either comedy, music, or what comes with it is a persona, right? Mm-hmm. And this happened with Richard Pryor. You know, Pryor was doing Cosby for a period of time, then he went to Los Angeles, then he went to San Francisco, and his persona changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happens is, like, that persona you used to wear doesn't feel right no more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time. It's like a snake getting its skin off, or like a reptile. Like, you got to shed that skin off first before you come back out. And there's no formula for that. Sometimes you've got the new persona, sometimes you don't, but you also can't rush it.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to connect, man. You know what I'm saying? Like you say, you don't want to hear Art House J. You know what I'm saying? Soho J and shit. You want to hear some bangers.
I want to hear So Ghetto. I want to hear that type. I want to hear Allure J. What's some of your favorite Jay-Z records?
I don't be knowing all the names and shit. Remind me of, you know what I'm saying, PSA.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Blueprint album.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Man, I don't know all the names of the shit. I was listening to a Jay-Z playlist the other day. I was like, damn, I forgot all that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. What's yours? You the J-Man.
I just said a couple. I said So Ghetto. I like So Ghetto a lot. I like Allure. What's the Million and One Questions intro? One of my favorite choices. I show you how to do this, son.
Right.
That shit hard. Meet the Parents is crazy. I mean, I could go on and on.
My favorite, you know what I'm saying, Get Money when was, you know what I'm saying, 1 million, 2 million, three million. I play that shit anytime I'm ready.
You don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you don't know. You know what I'm saying? I play that shit at any moment when I feel like I need to, you know what I'm saying, get some extra cash this month.
That's like his verse from Go Crazy. It's one of them shits that, like, that shit speak to me. Like, this nigga saying some shit. That's the type of Jay I like.
But I like his verse on, I like it even, it's a Dope Dilla verse, but I like the verse on, I done seen it all on Jeezy.
Right.
The plug down in St. Thomas, you know what I'm saying, on them trillion watts.
I gotta listen to that again. My favorite four hours is, fuck that shit, young nigga, get paid. Vlad, what else is good, man?
I'm trying to think of what Jay songs I like. I'm trying to think of, you know, so it's a short list.
Maybe not even Jay, but like, okay, so you about to do a show. You about to do a weekend. You're in the dressing room or whatever. What's on your pre-show playlist? What you playing? What's getting you in the mood? Like three records to get you ready for the stage.
It's mostly stuff my brother listens to, man, because that's what we'll be playing in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of salsa songs that he plays that just like real heavy drums, you know, heavy rhythm, and I'll play that. I'm just going in my iTunes library real quick to see if, oddly enough, man, you know what, I like Redman occasionally.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I put some Redman on.
Rakim, Just Uzi Bronx, Big Pun a lot of Big Pun.
Mm-hmm.
Big Pun is like, that's my guy.
What you playing from? What you putting on?
So with Pun, you know, Capital Punishment, that first the first album,
right?
And that one you could just pick a song, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That to me, that's one of the greatest albums, dude. That Capital Punishment album, Dream Shatterer in particular.
Mm-hmm.
You put on Dream Shatterer, right. You know, I could go work out. You could do a set, whatever's needed. But so if I'm right before a show, I do like Jada Kiss sometimes too, man.
Mm-hmm.
Jada's great. But if not, it's just some good old salsa stuff that my brother used to play.
That's what's up.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the salsa record? You know, you got any names?
Oh yeah. People? So the name of it is called the LeBron Brothers.
Oh shit! The LeBron Brothers.
LeBron, yeah.
Oh
LeBron
shit.
Brothers. And the song is called "Descalga LeBron." And I, you know what? I'm even linking to the Facebook page.
Yeah.
What?
For real though. For real. We be talking right that, yo. We about to put some shit on the Facebook page, and we don't be putting it on the Facebook page.
I'll put it up there, man. Let me see here.
People been hitting me. Yo, what happened? I thought you was gonna put that on the thing. Oh, my bad. I was talking.
Wrong page. See here. Oh, by the way, fellas, I just got my water bottle, by the way. I wanted to point that out to you.
That's a new one? Battery charge.
You know the one that measures how much water you drink.
Oh, I thought you had that.
I already had it already.
No, it was on back order. I got it today when rappers. I got back.
Uh-huh.
When I rap about it, I might get it in a couple months.
One day. Oh, aspirational.
It was on back order, man.
So how's it working so far?
Well, apparently right now, I done drank 45% of my daily allotment. Mm. So I got another 50% left.
Okay.
You got a long way to go.
I know, I got 94 ounces. It's 94 ounce total. And I've drank 42 of that.
And it judges what's been poured or what's been, drank. Like, as it goes out, that's when it says, okay, that was that.
No, so the way it works is that when you first get it, you got to calibrate it.
Uh-huh.
So you got to zero it first. So you put it down empty. Then right. You pour water in it. Then it measures what it's like full and empty.
Right.
So that whenever you drink and put it back down, it measures what's remaining. Does right. that make sense? Like, half
yeah,
empty?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how it knows how much...
You could cheat.
Yeah. If you poured some water, yeah, you could.
But why would you want to cheat yourself out of water that you?
That's
going,
what I'm saying.
I
want to
drink
out.
Anyway.
Somebody could fuck with your numbers. What I'm saying is no, because somebody want to fuck with your metrics. You go leave the room. They pour the water out. Pour some more water in. Pour that out. Pour some more water in. You think you ahead of the game. You only get 30%. You thought you was at 70.
You need to reevaluate your life and friends if somebody fucking with you.
Trying to sabotage your water intake.
And you need to reevaluate yourself if you're pouring it out on yourself. I'm going to get ahead of these numbers. Yeah, man. That's cool. You know what I'm saying? Technology and shit. I've been running my down, so. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that got nothing to do with water. I just know when I run, I had to drink a lot of water.
There you go. Fitness.
You know what I'm saying? That shit is...
Where you been running at? Just in Brooklyn?
Yeah, I ain't know. I don't need to go nowhere.
Still running after dark or
the
light?
I'm running in the dark. I did 3 miles. I'm proud of myself and shit. I didn't even know it was 3 miles until I went and looked it up at when I got home, see how far that was.
What do you mean you looked it up on your phone?
No, I went to, you know, I ain't got no advanced Nike technology with the bands and shit. So I was like, I knew where I ran.
Phone got all that.
Well, I went to the Google Maps and said, you know what I'm saying, how far is such and such?
Such and such.
And then it told me, you know what I'm saying, that shit was 1.6 miles. So I know I went there and back.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? So that I felt good and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't never did no shit like that.
Did you buy some different shoes to run in?
I had some Air Max, you know what I'm saying? Definitely got to have them running shoes because, you know, now that I put on regular shoes and try to trot down the block or something, catch the garbage man or something, I'm like, these ain't no running shoes.
No.
These J's ain't hitting no shit.
Not at all. This shit got no arch support.
Flat boys.
Oh, fuck your whole shit up.
But, you know what I'm saying? I ran in the Air Max, but the thing I did different. That changed it. Before, I didn't run with headphones. I'm just listening to my own breath and shit.
Right. Well, they say that's the best way to do it.
Fuck that.
If you run with songs, you go further because you're just playing songs.
Yeah, you go further. You don't feel yourself. You don't hear yourself getting tired. When you're running just with your air, you hear your shit getting
but
labored.
That's what they say. You need to hear that type of shit.
Fuck that.
You just ain't going to see it coming.
I just won't run because of shit, nigga.
Had he been listening, he would have been.
What you listening for, though?
You listening for the shit you just heard. What? When just, where if you wheeze it or if some shit pop or whatever, there's certain shit. Listen. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm of the mindset of a good headphone, a playlist. I'm just saying this is some new information I got from an expert, you know, a motherfucker, somebody that works in the running industry that does this type of shit. They work in fitness.
What they say?
And they were like, the main thing that people do wrong is when they do a cardio, they always put on headphones and they don't listen to their body.
Yeah,
and I was like, that's me.
I listen to how I feel, but shit, other than that, I don't want to hear that shit.
You don't even want to hear your body no more. You got to train your body.
Should be like this.
Exactly. Like, that's real life.
That shit make you want to stop. Like, hold up, man.
Yeah.
This is too much for me. What? I put that Jeezy on, boy. I was gone.
Your body going to feel like it ain't being heard. They going to take a stand.
It didn't,
hey, what?
It didn't feel no kind of way. So I was like,
I'm in this bitch using all caps. We'll see.
Send a nigga a text, body.
Oh, shit.
Maybe I do need to get one of them bands or some shit.
Don't you lie.
Hey, Vlad, you the technology man. Why don't you find me something?
Talk to you, brother.
Find me something that could send me a text if my body getting fucked up while I'm running. And listening to Jesus.
Right to your fucking spam filter. You're like, damn it!
Oh, man.
I didn't identify the address.
I mean, they got it if a water bottle could tell you you need to drink your water, nigga. Shit, I'm sure.
You still fucking with the Fitbit, Vlad, or no?
No, I got the Apple Watch.
Okay, so that does what the Fitbit used to do? Do you still tune into that?
For what, so the Apple Watch?
Just your health metrics. You know, that shit is kind of novelty the first two weeks. I'm curious.
Them shits is like the pet rock of the 21st century.
I feel it.
You know what I'm saying? The fidget spinner of fitness.
How'd that shit get hot all of a sudden?
Man, if you got kids, I don't know how I got started, but my daughter made me find one of them motherfuckers.
That shit looked like the most regular shit ever.
It's like some shit from a manufacturing plant or some shit that just was like a byproduct.
Right.
Like, yeah, we got millions of these shits. What we gonna do?
That shit look like we'd catch an L on Shark Tank.
Let's paint it.
Killing it. They got bootleg versions now.
Man, them kids is going crazy about them shits.
Vlad got one.
You like it, Vlad?
Yeah. No, I did a show in Auburn, and this kid, one of the producer's sons, gave it to me. He's like, hey, you can have it.
Oh, wow.
And I was asking him about, I was like, so what does it do for you? This kid's about maybe 12. And he said, you know, it helps me focus, helps me from getting distracted.
That's bullshit. That shit distract the kids more than it, you know what I'm saying? That's what they say is supposed to stop you from being distracted, but they be distracted playing with the motherfucker.
Yeah, it's like just something to do. It's like smoking. Like,
they be spitting it and put it on their forehead, try to balance it on their nose.
Yeah,
you focus, then a motherfucker on the wrong thing.
Like a koosh ball. Remember the koosh balls from back in the day?
Oh, like koosh ball. Yeah, I remember that.
They were the shit. There's all these little fucking toys that were the shit for 4 months.
Yeah.
So back to my original question. Do you still use the metrics on your iWatch or nah?
What you doing over there?
So here's what I do use it for. So what happens is,
cup.
No. That's something else. I'll use my Apple Watch for my heart rate.
Okay.
So typically, when you're on a treadmill, you have the heart rate sensor. You can keep track of what your heart rate's supposed to be.
Right. You gotta keep your hands on that shit. Right.
Keep your hands on it. What the Apple Watch allows you to do is you can just be loose. Kind of, if you're running, if you're doing a jump rope, if you're going around the gym doing circuits, and you want to keep a certain target heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
I use it for that, but not so much for steps or sleep. You know, the Apple Watch doesn't do sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of fitness, it's really just the heart rate. That's what I use it for.
Oh, all right. That's what's up.
Because you can feel like you're working out, but then your heart rate is not where it should be, and you're like, oh, I got to go harder.
Yeah, I guess so. And you know, it's so crazy, it's interesting, like there's certain people, the more they work out, their heart rate lowers and lowers and lowers. Like, what's his name? I think, what's my man's name with one nut, the bicyclist?
Lance Armstrong.
I think his resting heart rate is like 60 beats a minute or something even lower than that. Like, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, his fucking heartbeat's like, boop. Boop. Shit is lit.
I'm cool.
You know what I mean? That shit is chilling. Boop.
Yeah, so you know, it's important. That's definitely. I would say that's the most important data. But the ones they have ones that measure your sleep too now.
Boop.
They measure how much like deep sleep. They measure. There's one that this you know they're coming up with all kinds of stuff. D. They got one that measures like brain waves and stuff like that.
Man, I don't know crazy. What they doing all this shit. Because you told me the shit was on my phone and shit, right?
Yeah. Oh, I'll show you some shit on your phone.
I ain't never used
up.
The shit. You know what I'm saying? Now this shit doesn't measure. They're talking about I walk motherfucking 9,000 steps today and shit. How the fuck he know?
Now you feel good about yourself, don't
no,
you?
No, I don't. Fuck if I feel like it's an invasion of privacy. How the fuck? I didn't even know this shit was on my fucking phone.
I just motherfucking know my step frequency.
Don't you have to motherfucking set this shit up or something?
That's his setup. Once you gave him you gave him your fingerprint, though. I can't believe
I understand that. But you know what I'm saying? But I didn't know the shit was just, you know what I'm saying, measuring motherfucking feet.
Now, I'm going to show you some other shit that they
did. Shit fuck you up. You do some shit like, motherfucker, you ain't. They got your shit where you walked and everything.
Dude, I'm going to show you some shit when we get off the mic. Some shit that's going to fuck your head up. You're going to be like, what? Yeah, it's crazy.
Don't show me no shit that's going to fuck my head up.
It's going to fuck your head up. You're going to want to switch a setting. Anyway.
I know what he's talking about, too.
People want to know.
You got, I don't know exactly, it's the frequently visited shit. There's a thing on there where if you go through, not sites, no, if you go through, because they have GPS on your phone.
Uh-huh.
So if you go through this little shit, the shit is tracking everywhere you go, right? Mm-hmm. And then it aligns, says, oh, you always here a lot and you always there a lot. And the shit is, it'll fuck you up. You're like, oh, wow, damn, they see all this type of shit. Sometimes you just don't want NSA following everywhere you go.
Because they going to know where you're going to be. Oh, it's Tuesday. I know where
you're going to be right there.
Boop.
Let's pop up on them.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of that, I feel like it's time to transform and roll out.
Yes, sir. Yes, okay. Sir.
You know what I mean? Vlad, tell the people where you're going to be at.
I'm in L.A., man, for a couple weeks. And then May 31st through June 3rd, I believe, I will be in Minneapolis at the House of Comedy in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be there for 7 shows. Then after that, I'll be at Rooster Teeth Feathers. But yeah, I'm in LA for the next 2 weeks, man. I'm just kicking it locally.
All right. Bet. Muhammad, where you at?
Oh, man. I guess tomorrow, when y'all hear this, tomorrow night, I'm going to be shooting the Genius Talks with Mimi Valdez and Bev hosting.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? Produced by, you know what I'm saying, the Genius Agency with a J. You know what I'm saying? My man CJ. Creative Genius Agency. I'm sorry.
Cool, cool.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to be there tomorrow shooting that, you know what I'm saying, soaking up the game, you know what I'm saying? And shit, I'll be out there on the social media at Mr. Muhammad, you know, on Twitter and Instagram and Thorough TV on the Snap. You know what I'm saying? Holla at your boy. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate y'all always reaching out, you know what I'm saying, showing love to the show. And thank you for listening.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to be local as well. I'll be all on social media. I've been trying to rock with this Instagram stories a little bit more. So, yo, hit me. Send messages. Let's engage. See how this works out. real talk.
I cut my shit off.
Nah, I want some engagement. But also, Thursday, 11 p.m. This Thursday, May 18th, we're coming back with new episodes of Comedy Knockout. So this Thursday, tune in to True TV, 11 p.m. Set it up. Let's get it in. All right. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yeah.
We out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts, and find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out.